Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, March 25th, and today I'm going to be reading Romans 8 through 16, and this has a lot of difficult names, so I'm not making any promises as far as One Take Wednesday. I do have a special treat for you, though, at the end. If you have 23 extra minutes at some point during your day, I'm going to try to attach a sermon that Mark Rector first told me about when we were talking about favorite sermons, and he mentioned one preached by Fred Craddock called When the Roll is Called Down Here, and I've taken it off YouTube, and James, our editor, is putting it at the end of the podcast today. If you have time, I think it will really bless you and remind you about the importance of community in the Church of God and just how these names are not just names. They represent stories of people who blessed Paul. And yours is not just a name that one day when someone reads it in a book will say, hey, I don't know what they did. There's impact behind your life. And that's kind of exciting to think about. I'm going to start in verse 8 and go through verse 16. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman, Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Before we move on, let's just for just 1 minute talk about the fact that here Paul is sending greetings to a lot of different people, men and women, people from different social classes, Jews and Gentiles. And I'm encouraged here that God is working through others to impact Paul and for the mission of the church. Some gave financially, others worked hard in the Lord. Some were like a mother to Paul. And because of the Lord's grace in their lives and their willingness to share, the message about Jesus continued to be furthered to the ends of the earth. Our portion from the Psalms today is Psalm 74, verses 12 through 23. I'd like to set it up by reading a paragraph from the Psalms, Jesus' Prayer Book by Douglas Webster. He says, the psalmist here is a worship leader fighting for perspective in the midst of the ruins. He goes back to the fundamental truths and the basic story of God's power to create and redeem. He gives us words to articulate the positive realities hidden in the darkness of evil. He is not reminding God of who he is and what he has done as if God had forgotten. No, his direct address is not for God's benefit, but for ours. You split the sea. You broke the heads of the monster. You crushed the heads of Leviathan. You opened up springs and streams. You dried up the ever-flowing rivers. Day is yours. Night is yours. You set the boundaries of the earth. You made summer and winter. He is telling the truth about God, and in an act of worship, we, the people of God, are reminded of the fundamental truths that shape our existence and give us hope, even when it seems that all is lost. Psalm 74, 12 through 23 in the English Standard Version. Yet God my King is from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. You divided the seas by your might. You broke the heads of the sea monsters on the waters. You crushed the heads of Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the wilderness. You split open springs and brooks. You dried up ever-flowing streams. Yours is the day, yours also the night. You have established the heavenly lights and the sun. You have fixed all the boundaries of the earth. You have made summer and winter. Remember this, O Lord, how the enemy scoffs, and a foolish people reviles your name. Do not deliver the soul of your dove to the wild beasts. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Have regard for the covenant, for the dark places of the land are full of the habitations of violence. Let not the downtrodden turn back in shame. Let the poor and needy praise your name. Arise, O God, defend your cause. Remember how the foolish scoff at you all the day. Do not forget the clamor of your foes, the uproar of those who rise against you, which goes up continually. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. I can identify with the psalmist here. Lord, I want you to show up, and I want it to be clear that you have done it. Sometimes when we're in spiritual warfare, we can feel so weak, and we need to remind God, not because he's forgotten, but maybe even remind ourselves of who God is. And we plead, oh Lord, in situations where it seems like evil is winning, would you defend your cause today? All right, I don't want to talk too much because I have a lengthy sermon, 23 minutes, for you at the end of the podcast. If you have time, I think it will be a blessing to you. Will you pray with me? Father, you are our dwelling place. You are the Most High, our refuge. Please don't allow evil to befall us and no plague to come near our tent. Thank you for commanding your angels concerning us to guard us in all our ways. And in the words of Dr. Hull, may Christ go before you to prepare a way of service. Christ go behind you to gather up your efforts for his glory. Christ go beside you as leader and guide. Christ go within you as comfort and stay. Christ go beneath you to uphold with everlasting arms. Christ go above you to reign as Lord supreme. Amen.
I hope you will not feel guilty if your heart was not all aflutter during the reading of the text. It's not very interesting. It's a list of names, a list of strange names. I always tell my students in preaching class, when you're preaching from biblical texts, avoid the lists. They're deadly. Don't preach from the lists. It seems that Paul is calling the roll. That's a strange thing in itself. I have never worshipped in a church in which anyone got up and called the roll. It could be very dull. Well, it could be interesting in a way. Calling the roll sometimes is not all that bad. Last December, I was summoned Superior Court, DeKalb County, Georgia, to serve on the jury. On Monday morning at 9 o'clock, 240 of us formed the pool out of which the juries for civil and criminal cases would be chosen. the deputy clerk of the Superior Court stood and called the roll. 240 names. She did not have them in alphabetical order. You had to listen. And while I was listening, I began to listen. There were two Bill Johnsons. One was black and one was white, and they were both Bill Johnson. There was a man named Clark, a Mr. Clark, who answered when the clerk read, "Mrs. Clark." And he said, "Here." And she looked up and said, "Mrs. Clark." And he said, "Here." And she said, "Mrs. Clark." And he stood up and said, "Well, I thought the letter was for me, and I opened it." And she said, "We summoned Mrs. Clark." And he said, "Well, I'm here. Can I do it? She doesn't have any interest in this sort of thing." And the clerk said, "Mr. Clark, how do you know? She doesn't even know she's been summoned." This roll call is pretty good. There was a man there whose name I wrote down phonetically because I couldn't spell it. His name was Zerfell Leichenstein. Zerfell Leichenstein. I remember it because they went over it five or six times, mispronouncing it. He insisted it be pronounced correctly and finally stood in a huff and said, "I see no reason why I should serve on a jury in a court that can't pronounce my name." The woman next to me said, "Leichenstein, I wonder if he's a Jew." I said, "Well, I don't know. Could be. Does it matter?" And she said, "I am German. My name is Ziller." And I said, "Well, it doesn't matter. That was 40 years ago. And she said, "He and I could be seated next to each other in a jury." I said, "Well, you were probably just a child when all of that happened years ago." And she said, "I was 10 years old. I visited grandmother. She lived about 4 miles from Buchenwald. I smelled the odor." You're calling the roll. You know, a person could get interested in Paul's calling the roll, even if it's no more than to say, "I wonder how Paul knew all those people since he had never been to the church. I wonder if back then you could buy mailing lists." After all, he wants to raise money in Rome for his Spanish mission, and he is politically wise, and he says, "Tell this one hello and that one hello." Some scholars think this doesn't even belong in Romans. He's never been to Rome. But I could get interested in the roll call because it gives a kind of sociological profile of the membership of the church. Now, I don't expect you to remember, but in the list there is a husband and wife, Aquila and Priscilla. There's a man and his mother, Rufus and his mother. There is a brother and sister, Nereus and his sister. There are brothers, Andronicus and Junius. There are sisters, Tropina and Trophosa. There is an old man, Epictetus. Isn't that an interesting profile of the church? There's a single woman, Mary. There's a single man, Herodian. Not a lot of nuclear family there at all, except as Christ has called them together. It's an interesting list, sort of. Not very. But for Paul, it's not a list. Don't call it a list. He's packing his stuff. He's in the home of Gaius in Corinth, who is host to Paul and host to the church in Corinth. And Paul is getting ready to go west to Italy and to Spain. He's about to move to a new parish, one far away. He is now about 59 years old, I would guess. He feels he has one more good ministry in him. Most churches don't want a person 59 years old. But those churches had no choice because Paul started his own. And he wants to have one other ministry because he got a late start. He was probably about 35 when he started. He doesn't have much to pack, his coat and his books and a few other things. And while he is throwing things away to trim down the load for packing and moving, he comes across some notes and some correspondence, and he sits down among the boxes and begins to remember. Don't call it a list. You've done it yourself. When my wife and I finished our service at the student church when in seminary, our last Sunday there, they gave us a gift. It was a quilt some of the women of the church had made, and they stitched into the top of the quilt the names of all the church members. And every time we move and we come across that quilt, we spread it out on the bed and we start remembering. We remember something about as Chester, who voted against and persuaded the others to vote against my raise. There's Mary and John, who put new tires on our car. There's Loy, very quiet, never said anything. There is his wife, Marie. There's this marvelous woman, Lois, lived with that man who drank and became violent, and yet she was always faithful and pleasant. And he was dying with cancer when we went, my first funeral there, you remember. And this is the way we go over the quilt. Don't call it a list. Paul said, don't call it a list. Aquila and Priscilla, they risked their necks for me. Andronicus and Junius, we were in jail together. They're great Christians. There's Mary. Mary worked hard. She was there when everybody else quit. She's the one that always said, now, Paul, you go on home. I'll put things up. I'll put the hymnals away. And I'll pick up all the papers and straighten the chairs. You go on home. You're tired. Well, Mary, you're tired too. Yes, Paul, but you've got to ride a donkey across Asia tomorrow. You go on. I'll pick up here. Mary worked hard. Epaphroditus, the first person converted under my preaching, and I didn't sleep a wink that night saying, thank God, finally somebody heard. The first one to respond to the gospel. What a marvelous day that was. Tryphena and Tryphosa, obviously twins. You hear it, don't you, in the names? Tryphena and Tryphosa. They always sat on this side, and they both wore blue every Sunday. I never knew them apart, really. One of them had a mole on her cheek, but I didn't know if it was Tryphena or Tryphosa. I never did get them straight. And Rufus, tell Rufus hello and tell his mother hello, because she's my mother too. Isn't that something? Some woman earned from this apostle the title mother. Can't you see her? This woman, able to be mother to Paul, probably stayed in their home. She was a rather large woman, always had an apron, a lot of things stuffed in the pocket of the apron, hair pulled back in a bun, fixed a good breakfast. Paul said, "I'm sorry, I can't stay, I have to be on my way. Sit down and eat your breakfast. I don't care if you are an apostle, you gotta eat. Tell my mother hello." This is not a list. I remember when they brought the famous list to Atlanta. The workers set it up in the public place, block after block, to form a long wall of names. Vietnam, name. Some of us looked at it like it were a list of names. Others went over closer. Some walked slowly down the column. There was a woman who went up and put her finger on a name. And she held a child up and put the child's hand on a name. There was a woman there who kissed the wall at a name. There were flowers lying beneath the wall. Don't call it a list. It's not a list. In fact, these names in Romans 16 are for Paul extremely special, because even though he says hello, say hello to, say hello to, say hello to, what he really is saying is goodbye. Oh, he's going to Rome, he says, but before he goes to Rome, he has to go to Jerusalem. He's going with the offering, and he's going into a nest of hostility. And so at the end of chapter 15, he says to these people, "Pray with me, sunokonizo mai, agonize with me, that I won't be killed in Jerusalem, that the saints will accept the money in Jerusalem, that I'll get to come back and be with you. Please pray." These are not just names. Do you have a piece of paper? Do you have a piece of... Well, use your worship bulletin. Would you write in the margin somewhere or at the bottom these words? "I thank my God for all my remembrance of you. I thank my God for all my remembrance of you." And write a name. You choose the name. You remember the name. Write another name, and another name, and another name. Before I married and was serving little mission in the Appalachians, I moved in my service down to a place on Watts Bar Lake between Chattanooga and Knoxville, a little village. It was the custom in that church at Easter to have a baptismal service. And my church immerses, and it was held, this baptismal service, in Watts Bar Lake. on Easter evening at sundown. Out on a sandbar, I, with the candidates for baptism, moved into the water, and then they moved across to the shore where the little congregation was gathered, singing around the fire and cooking supper. They had constructed little booths for changing clothes with blankets hanging, and as the candidates moved from the water, they went in and changed clothes and went to the fire in the center. And finally, last of all, I went over, changed clothes, and went to the fire. Once we were all around the fire, this is the ritual of that tradition. Glenn Hickey, always Glenn, introduced the new people, gave their names, where they lived, and their work. And then the rest of us formed a circle around them while they stayed warm at the fire. And the ritual was each person in the circle gave her or his name and said this, "My name, and if you ever need somebody to do washing and ironing, my name is, if you ever need anybody to chop wood, my name is, if you ever need anybody to babysit, my name is, if you ever need anybody to repair your house, my name is, if you ever need anybody to sit with the sick, my name is, and if you ever need a car to go to town and around the circle." And then we ate, and then we had a square dance. And at a time they knew, I didn't know, Percy Miller, with thumbs in his bibbed overalls, would stand up and say, "It's time to go." And everybody left, and he lingered behind, and with his big shoe, kicked sand over the dying fire. And my first experience of that, he saw me standing there still. And he looked at me and said, "Craddock, folks don't ever get any closer than this." In that little community, they have a name for that. I've heard it in other communities too. In that community, their name for that is church. They call that church. Have you written any names? Do you have a name or two? Keep the list. Keep the list. Because to you, it's not a list. In fact, the next time you move, keep that. Even if you have to leave your car and your library and your furniture and your typewriter and everything else, take that with you. In fact, when your ministry has ended and you leave the earth, take it with you. I know, when you get to the gate, St. Peter is going to say, "Now look, you went into the world with nothing, you got to come out of it with nothing, now what do you got?" And you say, "Well, it's just some names." "Well, let me see it." "Well, now this is just some names of folk I worked with and folk who helped me." "Well, let me see it." "Well, this is just a group of people that if it weren't for them, I'd have never made it." He said, "I want to see it." And you give it to him. And he smiles. And he says, "I know all of them. In fact, on my way here to the gate, I passed a group. They were painting a great big sign to hang over the street. And it said, 'Welcome home.'"